I have with me, my wife very seldom gets a chance to go and hear her husband out of town like we used to travel when we were young. And I do a few lectureships now, and she stays at home a lot because of her health. And I started asking her weeks ago to come to Huntsville with me. I was over at Blue Springs a few months ago, and they had been asking me to come, and the only time I could come was on a Wednesday night. And I went over there and preached, and she couldn't come. But today she's with me. And I feel like a peacock. Don't get me started up in here now. I don't know about y'all, but I care on where I preach. And Brother Branch had no business telling. Now, your preacher told me to act like I was at home. And if I get the can on up in here and don't say that, Brother, what do you mean can on? Like, y'all preacher told me to act like I was at home. And I want my wife to stand. Stand up, Clara, and let them see you. Stand up, Clara. And I got my granddaughter. That's my baby. She just turned 13. She's with me. And man, can she hit a golf ball. Stand up, baby. That's the next Tiger sister. She like her pawpaw. She can hit that golf ball. And then I got my sisters. I didn't know they was coming. I thought they would. If I'm close by, they sometime come too. And they are very encouraged. They are great encouragement to their brother. And my sisters are with me. And then I want my sisters to stand. My two sisters. My oldest sister there is two. That's right. And that's my next to the baby sister with me. And then I got my first cousin with me. And now these are my first cousin. Y'all know Angela. I don't have to have her to stand. Angela invited all of these people, her sister. We go back a ways. That's Annie Lee, and that's my heart. And she's here, and I'm so glad she's here to hear me preach. I don't know what to do. Annie Lee, stand up. And let them see Annalise. She's just pretty. She could be standing up with that pretty gray hair. That pretty silver hair. Good to have you with us. God bless you. Now, I'm going to be in a familiar book with you just for a few moments. This is your family, I understand, family and friends. And what can be any more important to those of us who exist in Christ than our families and our friends? A lot of us have gotten in trouble because of our friends, and sometimes family. But to have that family unit is so important. Oh, it's important to have a family. For families can elevate us and lift us up. And I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I thank God for the blessing that He has given me to have a family. Now, I'm going to be in the book of Job. Somebody said, you going to talk about the family? Yeah. From the book of Job. Last time my cousin heard me preach, I was in the book of Job. I don't want her to think that's all I can preach. But she just happened to catch me twice in Job. Maybe the next time I'll be somewhere else. study with me. I'm in that first chapter. I'm going to read a few verses to establish my premise. And there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his son went and feasted in their house, every one his day, and sit and call for their 3 sisters to eat, to drink with them. And it was so that in the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified with them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and God and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continuously. I'm going to stop there for the sake of time. I want to talk with you about Job the family and friends. Not only just Job, but his family and his friends. There is a connection between a person and their family, and also friends. You can be successful or not successful, sometimes predicated upon your family and your friends. Associations mean a lot to human development. And so it was with this man, Job. The Bible refers to him as complete, perfect man, one who feared God and eschewed evil. Job was a good man. And since we are talking about the family, I got to stop here. I need to sing a little bit. Somebody said, you don't start preaching now. Well, you don't. I'm going to preach this now. You just listen. I'm here now. You have to deal with WC. I may start singing again in the middle of the song. It's going to be relevant, though. There's not a friend like the only Jesus. Singing, no, not one. Singing, no. I tell you, none else could heal all our soul diseases. Singing, no. Singing, no. And you know, Jesus knows all about Ba-ba-ba-da. Telling you he till the day will be not a free like the Lord. Singing no, keep on singing no. I tell you there's not an I there is singing no, keep on singing no. I tell you no, nights of dark but singing no, keep on singing no, and you know Jesus knows all about us, telling you he till the day. Well, there's not a like singing no, keep on singing no. Job, the man of the house, the leader of the family, was a God-fearing man. One that feared God and eschewed evil. If you're going to lead the family, it certainly won't hurt to be God-fearing. It will help your family if you believe in God. I just believe that is to the detriment of many families. The leaders are not God-fearing. If you're here today, I challenge you. If you're going to lead your family, become a God-fearing leader. Certainly won't hurt. Job believed in God. And he led with God out front. Job, a family and friends. It starts with the man. You can't have a good family if you're not going to be the right man. Can I get a little help up in here? Got to be a good man if you're going to be a good leader. Let me read something to you from verse number 3. The Bible says, his substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men. You hear that? Now, I try to ask people to let me borrow their sanctified imagination. You got to have a sanctified imagination when I preach. Biblical imagination, you got to believe in the Bible. But you got to be sanctified in your imagination. Job was the greatest man of these. Picture little boys shooting marbles. And Job walked by. Can't you hear him saying, "There go Mr. Job." Mr. Job is a wonderful man. I want to be just like Mr. Joe. Could you imagine little boy shooting marbles and you passing by? Can I get some help up in here? Would those little boys say, I want to be just like him? He's a wonderful man. I want to grow up and be just like him. I want to treat my family the way he treats his family. Do I have any men in here that little boys would talk about shooting marbles? Mr. Job was a wonderful man. The Bible describes him, Brother Branch, as the greatest man. That's the Bible. In the East. He must have been something else. Talk of the town. Everybody knew Mr. Job. What a wonderful father. What a wonderful man. But I'm not just going to talk about Job. I want to talk about Job and his family. Job wasn't by himself. He had a family. 7 sons. Man, he had to have his chest stuck out. 7 sons? Mine got stuck out when I had 1. 7. When the doctor came and told me I had 2 girls, and I told my wife, this is the last one. I sure hope this one is a boy. I want him to be healthy now, whatever it is. But Lord, please give me a boy. Don't close me out without a son. And sure enough, the doctor came out. He said, "Dear, you got a boy." I said, "Sure enough." I said, take me back there and pull the cover off of him. I want to see, is this a boy? I've been praying for this boy a long time. Glad I had a boy. Job had 7 sons. What a father. 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 children in his household. What a responsibility of a father. You got a huge responsibility. But 10 children to lead in the way of God and in the admonition of the Lord. It's difficult to raise 1 good in this terrible world. Children are going every kind of way now. Doing all sorts of things. And if you've got 1 and you can lead that 1 toward God, what a blessing. But to lead 10, every day you've got to wake up and make sure they're all right in school. Make sure their associations with friends are all right. I don't know what about you, but I had all kind of problems raising my 3. I tell my girls, well, now listen. I'd look at that fella there kind of close. Now, it may get a little bumpy up in here now. Y'all have to stay on the mule wagon. Somebody said, this man talking about a mule wagon, he must be real old. But it may get a little bumpy now. But I used to say to my girls, watch who you associate with. And sometimes we'd have to have it out about associations. Because we have to be careful about who we connect to. Because the people you connect with has a lot to do with you. Can I get a little help up in here? See, your friends identify who you are. If you connect with folk that ain't going nowhere, then you're not going anywhere. Connect with folk trying to go somewhere. Here you are trying to climb the ladder. And you messing around with somebody down in the dumps. Help me, Jesus. Make sure you associate with somebody that's climbing just like you. It doesn't mean you have to look at folk down the tip of your nose now and think you better than everybody else. But it does say that you must be wise in your selection of friends. Have I witnessed? It's a job raising children because they don't want to listen to you. Because they have to listen to folk in their schools every day. Peer pressure. Job had a tremendous job on his head, raising 10 children. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You got a challenge to do what your parents say, because other children may not. And parents may lose, and that's the other problem. Some parents allow their children to do all sorts of things. And here you go to Northwest. Your parents are trying to lead you in a spiritual Christian way. But other parents, well, my friends, they stay out all night long. Your friends are not trying to go where you're trying to go. Where are you? The question is, where are you headed? If you're headed somewhere, then you don't want to go where your friends are going. A lot of the young men that I grew up with are dead and the rest of them in prison. I'm talking about guys that I played football with and baseball with. Are gone on to meet God, died as young men in the streets because they were hard-headed. I almost died. They used to come by to get me. And my mom, the only thing kept me alive, I had a good praying mother. Brother Brands, I had a mother that prayed for me. And God heard her prayer. And I'm alive today because of the grace and the good. It wasn't because of how good I was. Because I didn't have no more sense than somebody else. Some of the crazy stuff I did. The only thing I didn't do is that I didn't think about. That's why I'm not trying to judge you. But I want you to be better than what I was. As a young person, I want you to do better than what I did. And your parents want you to be better than what they were. I think sometimes we ought to be honest with our children. Sometimes parents tell their children, I never did anything like you. You done lost your mind. Crazy the stuff you doing. My son one day, he had cut class, and I was so mad I couldn't see. He had cut class, and the teacher sent him home. And I went to pick him up. And he was getting in the car, and I said, don't get in this car. Look at me. And he looked at me. I said, you done lost your mind, Negro. That's what I told him. That's what I told him, Brother Branch. You done lost your mind. And he looked at me, he said, well, I was crazy for a little while. And I said, crazy for a little while. And I shut my mouth and got in the car and said another word. And I went home and told Mama. I said, that boy said he was crazy for a little while. Do you know that was the truth? And I couldn't tell him he was telling the truth. But that's what happened to most of us. We get crazy for a little while. Some of us stay crazy longer. But we get crazy, and sometimes in our craziness, we get messed up. But thank God, God can see us through our craziness. Be honest with your children. Tell them to some of the same things that you're doing, I'm telling you not to do because I tried it and it didn't work. And it won't work for you. Mommy tried it and it didn't work. Daddy tried it and it didn't work. And I'm telling you to be better than what I was. I want you to be a humble person in the sight of God. So the family is thrust with problems. Job's family was. Four things I want to raise before you. I'm not going to be long. Brother Brand said y'all are out by 11:30. I don't know why he told me that. Well, when you've been living 71 years, you got a lot to tell. Well, Brand, y'all be shaming yourself, tell me. 71-year-old man, you out by 11:30. Well, that's what time we get out at 11:30. And when preachers come to preach with me, I tell them, I say, now, you can preach as long as you want to, but we get out at 11. Stay in the pulpit as long as you want to. We saying the benediction at 11:30. So, Brother Branch, you just like me. 11:30, I'm gonna be out of here. I'm going to be out of this pulpit. There is a great difficulty facing the family. Job was God's fearing. Now, the Bible says that he was a great family man. The greatest in the East. What made his family great was he feared God. Four things I want you to remember. Satan's attack now. That's what I want to talk about just briefly. How he attacks the family. He attacks the family four ways. He attacks their assets, number one. He attacks the family. He attacks your health. And he attacks you through your friends. Now those are if you're ever attacked and you're going to be attacked by the devil, you cannot live on this earth. And Satan not attack you. He is going to attack you. He attacked Job's assets. This book of Job is a biopsy. It is an extract of suffering examined and suffering redeemed. It deals with the deepest stuff of our human emotions. If you study this book, the theme of the book of Job is why bad things happen to good people. He seeks to give you an answer to that age-old question. Why do bad things happen to good families? Your family is a good family. Why did Dad have to leave us? Why did Mom have to leave us? Why did our child have to leave us? Why do bad things happen to good people? That's the theme of this book. And it is the theme of the family. Bad things happen, help me, Lord, to good families. You can be a good family, God-fearing, church, dedicated, and bad things happen to good families. So don't look across the street and see a family that's going through hardships. And you say, what in the world were they thinking? Don't see a family that's struggling with a divorce or that's struggling with children and say, maybe if they were closer to God, it wouldn't have ever happened. I don't have time to preach this, but let me tell you something. I don't care how close you are to God, your children can go astray. Can I get an amen from anybody up here? And don't look at folk whose children are going astray and say, I'm so glad, you know what, those bad children, look at my children. They are so good. All children are good when you're looking at them. Anybody on the Lord's side? I mean, they are just wonderful when you're looking at them. It's when your back is turned. That's human nature. We humans are sinful sometimes. That is a fact. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But be loving. So Satan attacks our assets. He attacked Job's assets. That's the first thing he did. Job Campbell's, his sheep, his livestock. Satan attacked Job's assets. That's the way he attacked Christians. He'll attack your checkbook in a minute. Amen. You think you're doing well, and when you know anything, he don't know. He's attacked you from a financial perspective. And you know how we are. We're doing, honey, we can be good Christian when the checkbook is nice, when the money is going well. But when things tamper with our financial situation, we have trouble in the camp. Satan knows how to weaken your Christianity by attacking your assets. People leave the church when their house note get behind. I didn't say that happened here at Northwest now. Miss a few payments. Trouble with the bank. We put God out of our lives. When difficulties affect us financially. Job stayed close to God when Satan attacked his assets. Job's wife noticed the situation. Noticed how the devil had, and Job praying. You think about that. You in church every Sunday praying. And then you are laying by, giving to the church. And then all of a sudden, here come the devil attacking your assets. Sometimes it will affect your relationship with God if you're not careful. You'll become wounded. Job's wife said, why are you still praying to God? How is it that you are still close to God? Let me just read verse number 9 of chapter 2. Listen to it. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. How can you retain your integrity and they done pull your car? Folk done loaded your car on the truck. You done got two payments behind you. Jack Evans said the quickest time to go to start walking is to miss two payments. Taking your car, going down the street, and you don't have no way to work. How can I maintain my integrity with God and I was serving God, giving faithfully to the church? And now they cut back my hours at my job. And they have repossessed my car. Not only that, the bank has written me a letter. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Am I preaching to some folk up here? Because I'm looking out here and some of y'all look like y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all act like y'all don't live on the planet I live on. Y'all must have never heard tell of folk missing car notes and mortgages. You know, some folk act like they never experience anything realistic. I've given all to the church. I've given my life to God. And now I'm suffering. They cut back on my job. And then here's somebody, they're going to move, the job is laying you off. They shutting down. You've got 20 years in there, Sister Branch, 20 years in with that company. And they shut down and move. How am I going to pay my house note? What am I going to do? I tell you what you better start doing. You better get out and start praying. Should have been praying for it happened. Some of us don't start praying until something happens. Man, you talking about some folk can call on God? Man, we can call on God when things, and some of us can get a whine in it. We know how to call on God when trouble comes. But it's when things are well, we stop praying. The Bible says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Pray always. Don't stop praying when the car notes are all right. Don't stop praying when your mortgage is up. Don't stop praying when you got money in the bank. Pray always. And God will bless you always. Job's wife says, where is your integrity? While you stay holding on to God, look like he has abandoned you. Satan is attacking Job's assets. His house now is all gone. Yes, it is. All of his livestock has been decimated. His bank accounts are gone. Everything that meant something to him financially is gone. Now the family is looking to Job. Because I don't care what go wrong in the family, they always look to the daddy. Am I making any sense? I used to look up to my daddy. Lord help me. I don't care what went on in our family. I thought daddy was the greatest man that ever lived. Why? You ought to look up to your daddy as a great man. Have our witness. So Satan attacked where he thought it would do his greatest damage. And then he attacks the family. Job's children were at home. Y'all read the story. And a wind came from the east and blew the house down and killed all of Job's children. And the servant said, I alone have escaped to tell thee. 10 caskets. Man, most of us can't handle one. 10 caskets in the church at the same time. 10 holes in the graveyard. 10 hearses waiting on the outside of the church building. I heard him say, the Lord, I wish I could preach this. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job didn't stand by God when he had things well. He stood by God when he didn't have things well. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Now, I do not know, Brother Brand, your theological position on this issue, but I do not believe that God deals in evil. I do not believe that God is a God that tempts us with evil. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, he does not tempt us with evil. James chapter 1, God doesn't deal with evil. That's Satan. Satan is the God of sickness. Satan is the God of death. Satan is the God of wickedness. God is the God of good. A man said to his preacher one day, where was God? They were burying his daughter, incidentally. They were getting ready to funeralize her. And the preacher and the man was talking. And the man said, where was God when my daughter died? And the preacher said he was the same place he was when his son died on the cross. God has always, help me, Jesus, in the same place. He never moves from where he is. He stands and he sits in the same place. Now, you may leave God, but God never leaves you. Am I right about it? Job said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at Satan attacking his family. His wife has turned. His children are gone. Look like that's enough. But now Satan, as I get ready to leave, his health is attacked. Job balls accumulate from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Can't you see him with those sores secreting? They are infected, just like wounds. And Job is sitting down now in ashes. He's sitting there, and he's taking the ashes, throwing them up into the air. He has shaved his head as a sign of mourning. I'm getting ready to close now. He has shaved his head as a sign of mourning. He's sitting there in the ashes, crying, wondering why have all of these things befallen him. And if you are a Christian, every now and then you'll wonder why. Most of us have asked God why. That's sometime the question of the day. Why me? Why have you allowed this to come my way? Job is sitting there, scratching in those ashes, looking up to heaven and saying, why? But the Bible said something that I never will forget that helped me through my surgery. When the doctor told me, you'll never preach again standing up. Get ready, if you're going to preach, you're going to sit in a wheelchair. You'll never walk around again, because we're going to tamper with your spinal cord. And from my prognosis. You're going to be in a wheelchair. But you can preach from a wheelchair. Be thankful for that. When he left out, I looked up. I said, he don't know who he dealing with. I'm not going to preach in a wheelchair. I'm going to preach standing up. And they kept saying that. And every time they left the room, I'd get up. I fell down a lot of times. But I'd get up out of my bed and stroll around. And one day the doctor came in and I told him I was in the wheelchair. He was getting ready to leave. I said, wait a minute, don't leave. I want you to see this. And I stood up, Brother Branch, and started walking around. Don't tell me what God can't do. God can do anything but fail. Am I right about it? I wish I had time. I got to close. I'm getting toward 11:30. Let me get out of here. Listen. Job sat down and stretched in those ashes. But now his dilemma is not over. He knew that he had some friends that would come to comfort him. I'm talking about family, Job, family and friends. Job had some friends that would stick by him through difficulties. Isn't it wonderful when you go through hardships? You got some friends. You can text on your phone and they'll text you back. Isn't it wonderful to have friends that you can lean on? Y'all gonna help me preach this sermon? In time, I know y'all don't get excited up here. Y'all kind of quiet church. But every now and then, I get excited. Job was sitting in the ashes and he called for his friend, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And somebody said it took months for them to get there. They must have been tough because when they got there, if they held that stuff that they said to Job in them months, they were tough friends. Job expected them to get there and comfort him. Job expected them to take his hand, Brother Branch. Isn't that some Brother Branch going through trouble? And he expects me to take his hand and look him in the eyes and say, you're going to get through this.
All
right. I'm right here with you. I'm going to help you through these difficulties.
Yes, sir.
But I take him by the hand and I tell him, you remember when you were always talking about how God could see you through and how God would lift you up.
Yes.
You remember how you was always praying and bragging on God. It's your time now. You done talked about God. It's your time to suffer. You prayed about God. It's your time to have hard time. That's what his friends did to him. They poured cold steel into his already bleeding spirit. They cast doubt upon his hope. Yes, they did. They sought to influence his thinking in the negative instead of trying to help him feel better. Sometimes there are friends that will help you feel worse than you were when they got there. I never shall forget, I was in the hospital, head swole up, had surgery, just had it the day before. Here come, I won't call his name, this guy, into my room, a gospel preacher. I was looking for him to say, WC, let's have prayer. My eyes were swole up, my lips were swole up from the surgery. He looked at me. He said, man, you sure look bad. Brother Branch, y'all pray for me. I looked at him. I said, get out of this room. I don't need to hear what you're saying. I know I look bad. I know my head swole up. I don't need you telling me. Some of us don't need to go visit nobody sick. Am I right about it? You know, when you go to visit the sick people, say something good about them. If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all about them. Job's friends did not comfort them. What we need is comfort from our friends. It's wonderful to have friends. Those of us who have, anybody here got some good friends? Good friends. See, you need good friends. I'm not talking about the folk who say they're friends. And then they hear something bad, you don't never see them no more. They stay away from you when something bad is happening. I'm talking about some good friends. All of us need good friends. That's right. You know, friends that will stick closer to you than a brother. Job friends, Bildad, Elihu, Bildad, and Zophar challenged Job. And they said, there's a direct connection, Job, between what you're suffering and what you're going through and things you've done. The reason you're suffering, you've been bad. You ain't been this good person you say you've been. If you had been good like you say you've been, you wouldn't be having all these hard. And I'm going to tell you something. All suffering is not due to bad that we've done. There are people who suffer and have done nothing wrong. Suffering is for a cause. Several things, the reasons suffer. We suffer because of John 15. John said, every branch in me that bears fruit, he purges it. Sometimes God has to purge us. My wife and I used to go to Georgia before her grandfather passed, and they used to purge trees to keep them from becoming top heavy. Yeah. Cut those branches off of those peach trees and purge them. And when you look at those trees after they purged them, they really produce fruit. That's what God does to us sometimes. He cuts us. He prunes us that we may bring forth more fruit. Sometimes you suffer, you're a better person after you suffer. God purges us. So that's why we suffer sometimes, because he purges us. And I'm going to tell you something. All suffering is not due to bad things that we've done. Stand up on your feet. Job, family, and friends. It's good to have a family. Thank God for those of you who brought your families here today. Your families came as a result of you because they love you. And they came with you to the place where you give your all to God and serve him. What a wonderful thing to do. If you're here this morning and you are disconnected from God, this is your hour. This is your time. Well, it's family and friends. You could do it at no greater time. In all that Job suffered, the Bible says he sinned not. All he went through, all of the humiliation, all of the distrust, he sinned not. What about you? This is your hour.